Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Season 65 of the Sacramento Ballet opens Thursday with the new show Mozart in Motion. It is at the Sophia in Sacramento. This is actually season two, though, for the ballet's newer artistic director and choreographer, Amy Seiwert, and she's with me in the studio. Amy, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Nice to have you here. The ballet continues to invite the work of prominent choreographers, and this show includes an original piece by Jody Gates. She's vice dean and director of USC's Gloria Kaufman School of Dance. She's from Sacramento originally, but this is her first visit to our program. So glad to have you in the studio with us, Jody.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Welcome. So how do the two of you know each other? Amy?
Well, Jody is someone who I have always respected as an artist, originally as a dancer. I got to see her perform many times, and and I always describe her as a rock star. She also her mentor is someone who I greatly, greatly admire, William Forsythe, one of the most influential choreographers living today. So, I've admired this woman greatly for years. And then back in 2012, we were actually on the same program together for Colorado Ballet, and that's where we really got to connect.
Jody, what's your dance story from Sacramento? And then where did you go after to continue?
Sure, yes. So at the age of 16, I was discovered by a gentleman by the name of Robert Joffrey, and that was the Joffrey Ballet in New York City. So I moved to New York City at 16, joined the Joffrey Ballet, was there for 15 years, then moved to Pennsylvania, to Pennsylvania Ballet, and then on to Frankfurt Ballet. During that 25 years, I worked with William Forsythe, who Amy is talking about, on several occasions, and it's now brought me to where I am today as a choreographer, producer, and educator.
How did that discovery happen?
By Robert Joffrey? Actually, with Sacramento Ballet. Yeah, I was a student and company member of Sacramento Ballet when Barbara Crockett was directing. Mm-hmm. And we performed at a regional Dance America festival. And he came to teach a masterclass and view performances.
Wow. Tell me about the scope of choreographers who are women in professional ballets across the country. And then we'll talk more specifically, Amy, about artistic directors who are women. But what's happening in the world of choreography?
There's a interesting phenomena in ballet. So you go to any little ballet school, and there's probably 99 little girls and one little boy training. And then you go into the professional realm, and somewhere between the training of young students and the professional level, that all flips. Most of the choreography that is done on professional stages is by men. Most of the leaders in the field are men. And I feel like we have been having this conversation easy for the last 20 years, but what's exciting is that the needle is finally starting to move and that there are more women creating and more women leading.
Jody, what are you saying, too? Add the academic world to that.
Sure. Well, I'll follow up with Amy on the fact that we are seeing more female directors in general, and the fact that Amy is very conscious with her position as a role model to young ladies, as well as bringing in female choreographers. So I'd like to thank her for that, because it's wonderful to be here and work with the company. As an educator and in a leadership position, it also, there's a hierarchy that's not unlike ballet that exists in the academy. And that, I hope, is shifting as well. For example, my role is not just as a director and a teacher, but rather an example to the young students who are receiving their BFA in dance education. And they look to me and say, yeah, I want to work with a female director when I get into a company. And that's very, very important.
I think you were talking deeper, though, in that moment about how the conversation happens with young women and the preparation for not only the ballet world, but the world in general, and how they hold themselves and interface with the world. Do you want to say more about that, Amy? Because you're in such a powerfully influential place with young people.
Yeah, and young women and young men.
Right.
So I tend to choreograph pretty traditionally. Most of my duets are male-female in nature. And I think there's something that's very interesting that happens when the person who can bench press less, that would be me, leads the conversation when you're choreographing a duet, because the man has to listen in a different way and the woman has to speak in a different way. And I'm talking about all physical communication right now. So there's a nuance that happens that really changes the dynamic in the room. And it's a beautiful thing.
Let's go back to the Nutcracker and and talk about the changes that you made in December. When Jim Carnes wrote about it in the Sacramento Bee, he noted that Seiwert is one of only half a dozen women choreographing a version of the Nutcracker currently being produced. How many Nutcracker versions happen at holiday time across the country?
Oh, I mean, on the professional level, it's, you know, if we're solely talking professional level, it's still, what, 7,500? Easy. Yeah.
So maybe easy. Six were being done by women.
Yeah.
And the change you made in changing Clara to Marie, changing some of the dancing, changing the story to more coming of age, being able to have a 15-year-old in the role instead of an 8-year-old, it seemed like the response to all of that was an embrace. That there was a real reception to a new idea, a new take.
Yeah, so it's interesting. There's a very famous quote by George Balanchine: "Ballet is woman." And what you can actually kind of interpret that quote is ballet is woman interpreted by a man. So I think to be able to tell this story, this iconic story of Nutcracker from a woman's point of view, a young woman coming of age point of view, that was really important to me. And just doing small shifts in it that a lot of people didn't notice, but it's funny, the people who did would bring it up to me. For example, there's a point in the first act where it's very calm and quiet, and then there's a big interruption, a big cacophony of music. And traditionally, that's when all the little girls rock their dolls to sleep, and then the little boys come in and make chaos. And it was very important to me when the chaos point happened that it was a mix of boys and girls, because sometimes girls are loud. But to just to have that out there, right. and to shift that, you know, just these really subtle things that we're showing. Nutcracker is one of the most viewed ballets. It is the most viewed ballet in the United States. And to have essentially more gender equity in it and still keep it traditional was very important to me.
Is the most important measure of what's happening with the ballet the subscriber list? And whether the list is growing or reducing, does it come to the bottom line of being able to sustain a ballet in a community?
Well, we love our subscribers, and thank you to everyone who does. That is a huge part of it. I just love to see people in the theater. I feel like every time, if I can get you in the door and show you what we do, I can. You'll fall in love with these dancers and what's happening.
That's Amy Seiwert. She is the artistic director of the Sacramento Ballet. The new season begins this weekend with Mozart in Motion. Shows are Thursday through Sunday at the Sophia in Midtown Sacramento. I absolutely love seeing the ballet at the Sophia.
It's a great space.
I think the venue is fantastic. Try it out, especially if you've never seen ballet before. You'll be amazed at the intimacy and the closeness of that experience. I'm talking with Amy and the featured guest choreographer, Jody Gates. And Jody, your original piece, was it composed just for this show, or is it a work that's been done in other places?
Correct. I created the work originally for Colorado Ballet, and that's where I last saw Amy. And it was so nice to reconnect with her. And this was prior to her position here, and to see her now thrive and create such an amazing group of dancers and artists is really compelling, and I feel very fortunate to be a part. So the piece that I brought here, Embellish, I recreated for the dancers here. They have a sense of collaborative spirit and also have a fresh approach to contemporary ballet. So I was able to reimagine and redesign sections and created completely new sections, which I'm really, really excited about.
Are you still dancing
yourself? No. I did until I was 40, and then I hung up those pointe shoes. And I enjoyed doing what I do, which is creating on dancers.
But you work as a choreographer. You're very much in motion. You're demonstrating. So in that sense, and there must be other ways that you stay fit, because a body that's been in motion like that so much all its life has to, isn't this one of our basic science laws, has to stay in motion?
Sure, absolutely. And I think what really grounds me as an individual is being in the studio, whether it's teaching a ballet class or coaching professionals. That is something that it fills my soul. And, you know, once a dancer, always a dancer. Hmm.
Would you add to what Amy was saying about the influence and the voice of the growing numbers of women in a very traditionally male field?
Yes, it's exciting to see what's happening. For example, when I speak to women, whether it's in a rehearsal or in a class, I want them to have a sense of agency when they're being partnered, so that it's not the traditional sense where the man is carrying the woman in the air and she's complacent, but rather she's an active participant. And when I talk about agency or autonomy, all of us walk into the dance studio with an opinion about this art form, which is dance. So I want everyone that walks in to have an opinion. Show me that opinion based on everything that has come to you in your life, every piece of art, every song you've heard, and everyone that you've worked with. So I encourage dancers in the studio to think that way. It doesn't have to be a woman or someone that defines themselves as a male, but all of us walk in there and make art. So I hear Amy with her sensibility in being a female leading is critical to where we are right now. It is critical to the evolution of dance, because I do think there are a lot of talented ladies out there that need their voices heard and seen. So again, there's not enough of us making contemporary ballet. And we're charged with this... I think this march to be role models.
Jody Gates grew up in Sacramento. She is now vice dean and director of USC's Gloria Kaufman School of Dance. She danced with both the Joffrey and Frankfurt ballets. In our studio, I looked through the window as you were speaking, and Jennifer Reason just walked by. Jennifer is a morning classical host here, but she is a classical pianist. And in fact, she's going to be part of the ballet. There she is. Pop in and say hello. Come on in, Jennifer. I heard the door. Hey.
Hello.
Come on in and join us. So you have what, I don't want to say you're the comic relief of the ballet.
I'm the comic relief. Yeah.
But she's joining soprano Carrie Hennessy, and I don't want to give it all away, but I feel like it's a really funny bit in a serious show, isn't it?
Well, so looking at Mozart and looking at the phenomenal artist that he was, being able to show all the sides, to be able to show the beautiful melodies he wrote, the insanely heartbreaking compositions, but also his humor and wit. That was very important to me, to have all of those elements in the show. And I would say Jennifer, Carrie, and Kathy all bring that.
All right, you get one answer here, and then I know you have to get back to your shift, but did you ever envision yourself being part of a ballet?
Not in a million years, and it's been the best collaboration of the year.
All right, well, I know you have 5 minutes to get on the air, so thanks for popping in, Jennifer.
Goodbye.
And bye-bye. And before we let you go, there is one other special choreographer in the show, and I want to make note of his work as well.
Yeah, so that's Darrell Grand Maltrie, who is the choreographer of the piece that Jennifer is involved in. Darrell he's been here, I think this is his fifth time with Sacramento Ballet, but he choreographs ballet, he choreographs modern dance, he's choreographed for Beyonce, like he's done theater work. So he's very varied in what he does. And when we were looking for something very unexpected, he was the first person I thought of.
Well, good luck in your second season here. I think the first year was a year of surprises and some real steadiness. Would that be a good characterization?
Yes. It was challenging and beautiful and, all the feels for sure.
Sacramento Ballet's artistic director and choreographer, Amy Seiwert. Jody, it's wonderful to meet you. I look forward to another visit again. Welcome back to your hometown.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back.
Yeah, and congratulations on all the great work you've been able to do and now to be back together again. So again, Mozart in Motion opens Thursday night at the Sophia and continues through Sunday. We've posted a link both to the Sacramento Ballet and the Sophia for more information. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Thanks for joining us.
From Sacramento State, this is Capital Public Radio, 90.9 KXJZ FM and HD Sacramento, 91.3 KUOP FM and HD Stockton Modesto, 90.5 KKTO Tahoe City Reno, and 88.1 KQNC Quincy, streaming at capradio.org. We got support from MaryStem, a transitional program for young adults on the autism spectrum located in Fair Oaks. Students can learn independent life skills, social awareness, and more. Learn more at meristem.pro. And we got support from the Calaveras Visitors Bureau, home of the Mark Twain Wild West Fest in Angels Camp, October 19th. A full day of entertainment celebrating life on the wild frontier. Go Calaveras.com.
Well, good morning. My name is Joe Barr. I'm joined by Drew Sanzer, and Insight is just wrapping up. Here and Now will start in a couple of minutes, and we're here to ask you for your support of all the great shows that you listen to on Capital Public Radio, everything that it does for you, whether it's Insight or Here and Now, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, Mick Martin's Blues Party, our classical music service, our jazz programming. The list goes on and on. You know Capital Public Radio is there for you, and now we're asking you to be there for Capital Public Radio. And if you are a listener to any of those shows and you're not a contributor, you haven't made your donation, now is a great time to do it. Become part of the Cap Radio community. 1-800-800-5867 or capradio.org.
And you could also, of course, win the grand prize. You call, you're entered, go to the website, an 11-day classical music adventure to Poland and Prague, hosted by Cap Radio's Victor Forman and the person sitting across. How did you pull this one off?
I don't know if that's a draw or not. I think Victor Forman is a draw. He's one of our on-air people, but I'm there to add some color.
Oh, come on. You're selling yourself short. So you get a private piano recital. I love this at the home of Chopin, right? You also get to attend the legendary Prague Spring International Music Festival. And I've always wanted to go to Prague. Actually, the city of 100 spires. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
There you go. Okay. Our listeners can bring that over with them. So contribute today. You could win that grand prize. And it's easy. 1-800-800-5867 or capradio.org.
You're not only paying for programs when you go evergreen, your ongoing monthly contribution means more Cap Radio in more ears. And that means a more informed community. Think about how all of this work. It really snowballs. You make your contribution, and then that turns into something much bigger. It's obviously going to be good for you, but it's great for the community. So go evergreen, and all it takes is for you to make that call and have your routing number from your bank account, and you can start your evergreen contribution right now. It's very simple. It's quick and easy. 1-800-800-5867 online. At capradio.org. Here and Now, it will be starting in just a little bit. Another great public radio show that you depend on for the news of the day and going behind the headlines of the day. And when there's breaking news, Here and Now, NPR, and Cap Radio are there for you. 1-800-800-5867, capradio.org. And it takes just a couple minutes of your time. Why not do it right now? Maybe you're starting your day. Get it off to a great start with that call or going online. And for everybody who's made the contribution already, thank you so much. We appreciate it.